Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
7.5 people over under in their car currently listening to this radio station.
You think it's, I'm going to go the under on that one, right? Nah, there's what a couple of cars out there.
What a trip into work this morning.
Boy, I'm telling you, if you don't have to be out today, as they like to say, don't be out. The mayor's on TV talking about snow removal in Kansas City, and so yeah. We know how that's going to go. Casey Moe's doing a much better job than they have done in years past. But the road, like, I woke up this morning and I could see the grass, and I was talking to one of the folks down at the Rock, Nikki, and
we're
I go,
in the garage.
She said that she got up at 2 this morning because it was, and she's like, there's no snow. So as the day kind of progressed and the morning kind of progressed, now you can see that the stuff is covered. The roads were not good this morning. And so I'll just give that public service announcement to you out there. Don't go out today if you don't have to. Don't do what we did. What is it? Do as I say, not as I do. Because we did do, and we're here, and we are do for being here on the roads. But for you guys out there, if you can stay at home, just stay at home. I know a lot of people can't. You got to get out and you got to do your thing. But the roads, you know, haven't been touched yet because it's just now kind of really starting. As I went to pick up Mac this morning, I got in the shower about 4, looked out the window. The grass was still very visible. And as soon as I got in the car and started heading to get Mac, sideways snow, the roads are starting to get to be a mess and whatnot. So just be very, very, very careful out there today when you're driving around, or just kick your feet up and grab a cup of coffee and listen to us talk Chiefs all morning long, or Royals, or whatever we're going to talk about today, because there really is no reason to be out in that mess, and it's only going to get worse. Hopefully by 10 o'clock it's better, some of the roads are cleared, and we can be about our day. But right now, sit back, relax, and just enjoy the morning, right?
Yeah, that's why you're able to watch us on like YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter X, all that sort of stuff. You can just put it on your TV this morning.
Yeah. If you're weather tired of, you know, looking at the forecast.
I mean, it literally looked like I was driving the Millennium Falcon this morning.
Like, that's it was like that bad for you, huh?
Well, I mean, I was on the highway. Like, I go, I've told you this 3 times now, I go 470, 435 to, today was Metcalf, but normally it's to 69 to 35 into Shawnee Mission Parkway because I come from Lee Summit. Terrible. I mean, terrible. It's just like, nobody knew which lane they were in. There was no lane.
No.
I'm just going to say, there was no lane. There were 2 stripes of pavement. Lighting was very rare, and you would like drive, and all of a sudden you'd see like 2 red dots. Like, okay, now there's a car in front of me. It's now going a certain speed. That's either, you know, whatever. And, that was nuts, man. It was fun. Though.
It was fun. It was
fun in a crazy psychotic way.
Yeah. But you know, these are the days that I have the Bronco for. So I pick up back and whatnot. And I'm like, there's no lanes. I kind of like that duo thing. How many red lights we stop at this morning, young man? How many?
0. None. Yeah. And lucky for you guys, you have to drive on a highway.
I know, like, they were sending me to the highway cause Mac just moved. So I was going to his new crib to pick him up cause he's no longer staying in mommy's bosom. And so he gave me the directions of where to go. And it's like highway. I'm like, I'm not going to get on the highway today. I'm going to stay on the side roads and do all that and take my time on, you know, getting there. But it all worked out and we're good to go. But just be careful if you're going to go out today. Go slow. And if you don't have the right car, I understand people still. I get it all, man. Maybe there's an Uber XL or something out there that can help you out. But like if you have a 2-door spec today, it's probably not going to be something that, you know, works. And we're watching all these cars just stalled on the highway.
It's just lame.
Oh, the video was fried.
It's just stripes.
Hey, that's actually not too bad. They actually got some stripes there for you to stay in. So it's a snow day, right? The kids are off today. They're off the rest of the week. They're off Monday. Like
from the 913, I'm currently driving that same route from the Lee Summit area. One lane's plowed, traffic moving about 50 miles per hour.
Say, so that's better than what you had this morning, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's with time and you know, movement, things will obviously, but shout out to the snow plowers out there.
That's right. You guys do a great job always.
I don't know if that's good or if it's normal or whatever, but yeah, good thing.
This is the second big one we've had this year, right? And there's years where we haven't had any snow. And so I guess we were kind of quote unquote due, you know, the due factor, like they say in baseball. I think he's due. I guess we were due for those El Ninos or La Ninas or whatever we're calling the snowstorms these days. Yeah. And you know, it is what it is.
I'm just glad there's no ice.
Yeah, that's the saving grace. And this is light, like, you know, dusty snow, if you will. It's powder. It's very, very, very much like talcum powder out there today. It's not packing snow, which is another good thing as well. So it'd be easier to get this kind of stuff off the roads and get people moving again around town. So, you know, hang out today. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. I don't like that line. Just enjoy yourself.
Just enjoy yourself.
The hell
man.
With anybody else.
Yeah.
Teachers, relax today.
Kids, go out and make it. Well, you won't be able to make a snowman because it's powder.
But yeah, it's Dusty Snow.
Yeah. That's a great stripper name. Hi, I'm Dusty Snow.
If that's what her voice sounds like. Would you like a beer?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dusty Snow.
Yeah. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. No, you can appreciate the people that that do have to go out there and work in this stuff today and plow the streets. But speaking of appreciation.
Yeah.
Because this time of year, we'll bring this up in our poll question because it is Wednesday, but this is where, like, the time of year where you'll teeter-totter from, you know, Royals to Chiefs, because you have spring training getting ready to start.
Yeah.
You just had the Super Bowl end. You also have the draft, opening day, you know, free agency, all this sort of stuff kind of, like, intervines within itself. But where we can start the first Chiefs topic off today is after you lose that Super Bowl, like, does that loss give you more appreciation for this run than you may have had a few days ago? And the run that we talk about is the run for the three-peat. Like, seeing that, you know, you beat a Philadelphia team 2 years ago, you beat a San Francisco 49ers team last year, and then this year you played a Philadelphia Eagles team that was just, I mean, better than you, stronger than you, and more prepared in that game than you, and it makes you wonder, like, okay, like, in that three-peat run, their best record statistically was the year they lost the Super Bowl, and their worst record statistically was the year that they won a Super Bowl. So it's like the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of the NFL and how the Chiefs sustained at the top for all that time. Still not over. It could go right back to the Super Bowl next year. I firmly believe that with who they have at quarterback and at coach. But it does make you appreciate it a little bit more when you see the team lose that way, but understand that they played almost 4 years more than any other team in the NFL and still went to three straight titles.
With the last couple of years, they've had an entire extra season of games with the playoff games. I mean, what is Patrick Mahomes now, 18-4 in the postseason or whatever it is, right? That's more than a full season extra football, and that's not a bad thing. That's an amazing thing right now. I think you bring up a really good point, though. The two Super Bowl losses were their two best record years, 15-2 and 14-2, and they lost in the Super Bowl in both of those years. They go 11-6 last year, and they win the Super Bowl. So it's kind of crazy. The two best regular seasons did not even equal the postseason success that we want, and that's why I've said for so long, doesn't matter what you do in the regular season, it matters how you finish and if you're hoisting that Lombardi trophy, and they didn't. For me, I've always been appreciative. I was very lucky as a child to have my dad tell me, and I was telling you guys this in New Orleans, like when I was 7 or 8 years old, remember this moment, it doesn't happen a lot, and it's one of those things from childhood that really stuck to me, you know, and when the Giants won the Super Bowl for the first time when I was a kid, and my dad's like, man, I've been a Giants fan my whole life, they haven't been any good since like the 50s, enjoy this moment. tournament, it doesn't happen all that much. And I was like, come on, Dad, they're going to win every year, right? And they didn't. You know, they went 5 years, they won another one. And so I've always, that's always been my way of kind of viewing sports now as an adult. You've got to really appreciate, you know, what was going on. I think there was some missed appreciation with the Royals in 14 and 15 because people were focused on Omar Infante. And I do think during this run, there's been some, you know, lack of appreciation for what's going on with the Chiefs because people get so dialed in and narrow focused on the minutiae of stuff, they forget about the big picture. And now that they lost the Super Bowl, I kind of feel like maybe Chiefs fans are kind of reflecting a little bit and saying, damn, I really should be appreciating what's going on here, because even with that Super Bowl loss, this is still the greatest time of our lives. And so for those that weren't fully appreciating everything that we've been enjoying, I hope that Super Bowl loss was kind of a little bit of a, I don't want to say a wake-up call, but a moment where you go, damn, I really should be appreciating this ride, because we saw it kind of pause in the Super Bowl, took a left-hand turn we didn't expect. Will we get back on the straight and narrow? There's no guarantees. I'd like to think we will, but there's no guarantees that this organization or any organization gets back to the championship game. And remember, we went 50 years here in Kansas City without getting to that Super Bowl. So I hope that loss makes people really, truly appreciate, take a step back and take a deep breath and realize, hey, man, we've had a really, really good run here, and they lost. So what? This has still been the mecca of the sports world and the entertainment world for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know if it's, again, we talked about before the loss about how Mahomes still has time to chase Brady's legacy. Mm-hmm. And with a win, it would really narrow that gap. I think we can all agree that we can be done talking about that sort of comparison until we get to the time, right? Like, but I do think it is laughable and comical to think that at the age of 29, well, 30, it's where Mahomes will be next year. And to know for a fact that he's going to play until he's 40, that type of athlete will do that. Like Tiger Woods, I know he just pulled out of the Genesis Classic this weekend, or the tournament this weekend, but like he's still playing competitive golf, even if it is at a very low rate. But Tom Brady played until he was 45. Mm. And Tom Brady was like kind of like that first wave of quarterbacks that, like, if you have the money and the right people, they can keep you on track to play until basically it's just like, clearly time has taken over, which it did in that final season, which was his only losing season of his career. And Mahomes is like that same kind of guy. Like, he has a great trainer. He will have great, you know, physicians. He will have a whatever he wants and will eventually play until he's 40. Unless something random happens and he's just at like the age of 35 and he's like, I'm beat up. My arm's trash. My hips hurt. I'm just retired. I've won 5 Super Bowls. But it's laughable to think that he would never get back in 10 years when he went to 5-7.
Well, people love to talk about the fact that Mahomes isn't going to be back. I mean, you just...
Was it 5-7?
It was. He went 5 Super Bowls in 7 years as a starter.
Like
yeah.
It's comical to think that that would never happen. Right. It's like, well, it's like if it was, you know, if he'd gone to 3-1-2, like if this three-peat was the only thing that he had done, then I might be like, well, maybe this is an anomaly of a run. I don't know. But he did it before that, went through roster changing, went through trades, went three in a row, and they're getting ready to redo the whole roster and go through trades again.
I think we're going to see one of the biggest roster turnovers we've seen in this organization.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the free agents.
Just the free agent list alone, but I think, you know, this may be another type of Tyreek Hill type of offseason. Not that anybody's told me anything like that, but when you lose that Super Bowl, you kind of have that bad taste in your mouth. I think this is going to be one of the bigger roster turnovers that we see in this organization. And if they do trade people, and we'll get to some scenarios that we may have later in the show, but if they do start to trade people, remember, they traded Tyreek Hill and went to 3 straight Super Bowls and 1-2. It's not about anybody else other than that quarterback and that head coach and, well, now offensive line. But if they start trading people, you know they're trying to get better and turn that roster over, and they've done it before, and they're going to continue to do it. And that's how you stay on top. You stay young, you stay fresh, and you stay moving forward, and you got that rock-solid dude at quarterback for you.
From Chiefs to Royals, Royals to Chiefs, that's this time of year. And coming up on the other side, a familiar face back at the K, and also payroll conversations. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, that's how we feel, kid. Yeah. That's how we feel. Be safe today. Hazardous conditions. Drive slow. It's it doesn't matter if you get there an hour late. Just get there.
Or if you don't get there today because you can't get there, so what?
Yeah. What Bob said.
I just don't want people to go out there and endanger themselves, right? You got to make sure you're careful, you're safe, and if you don't have the proper car or whatnot, man, just be careful out there. Or if you have to walk, walk, whatever the case may be, but be safe.
Neil and Lone Jack is taking it slow.
Let's go, Neil.
Somebody says from the 816, imagine going to the parade today in this weather. Well, they wouldn't have had it.
They probably would have canceled the parade today, yes.
Probably would have been Thursday.
It was scheduled for Thursday anyway, just so people know. I mean, I know people are scoring at home when the parade would have been. It was scheduled for Thursday because this weather was coming in, so they moved it back, you know, a day to Thursday. The Philly parade is going to be on Friday. That's going to be a disaster. A Friday afternoon,
them.
Right?
Yeah, it's going to be
on Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day. They had that Valentine's Day massacre, you know, that people have talked about over the years. Like, what's going to happen in Philadelphia on a Friday where everybody's hammered out of their minds climbing light poles?
And then it's Galentine's Day on Saturday.
I thought Galentine's Day was before Valentine's Day.
National Galentine's Day is, I think, February 15th.
You know who will
check
know that?
It
Binkley
and
will
see
know.
If I pulled it.
Binkley will know the exact answer to that because every day he tells me what the national days are, and we'll talk to him coming up in about 20 minutes. And so I bet you he knows exactly when Galentine's Day is.
So it'll be. So we want to wait for Binkley?
No, I want to know now.
Okay, it'll be. It's the day before, so it's tomorrow. Yep.
The 13th. Ooh, on a Thursday. That's interesting. So Galentine's Day is the day before Valentine's Day, so they get to double dip if they have a relationship. Or is it just for single women?
I think it's just for single women. I don't think you double dip.
So if Molly's single, but Sarah's not. Sarah can't participate in Galentine's.
Sorry, you're out.
Yeah, sorry, Sarah.
So that's kind of like, so that has to dissipate. Is that the word?
Dissipate
is the word.
That has to dissipate as you get older, you would think.
Well, I would imagine, but maybe, you know, you get
like,
to a
imagine
point.
The same two that ride it out to the, like, Thelma and Louise type. Like,
yeah. How cool would that be, right?
We've made it this far, Cheryl.
Yep.
F those guys.
Keep
and
it going.
Those friends.
Did The Office create Galentine's Day?
It was Parks and Recreation.
Oh, it was Park and Rec. Yeah. That's what it was. Parks and Rec. Parks My and bad. Rec, yeah. I knew it was a TV show.
Yeah.
But yesterday, shockingly enough, was National Breakup Day.
Wow! What?
Oh, because they do it like they do it before
yeah,
the
like
holiday,
right before Valentine's Day, right?
Like a week.
Like I've always told people this. You know, I was telling my daughter this because she dated this kid for a month and he broke up with
that's
her.
That's a I'm long like, time at that age.
Yes and no. It just like it depends.
Oh,
I think
that's a long time.
She's been in a longer one, but a month. They dated for a month and he broke up with her, and I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. But I told her, I said, once you get to about Thanksgiving time, really, don't date anybody until like February 15th, from like Thanksgiving-ish, if you haven't been in a relationship, right? If you're not long, it's fine. But if you're getting ready and you're maybe wanting to find a relationship, wait till after Valentine's Day. Ask that person out like the 15th, 16th, 17th. Yeah. That way you get through Christmas, you get through the new year, you get through Valentine's Day.
Oh, you're trying to be a cheapskate.
No, I'm trying to be like, if you don't like the person, like if you start dating that person right around Thanksgiving and you really don't
really
like them, then you're breaking up with them in the holidays and all this kind of stuff backs up. So just do yourself a favor and just wait till after Valentine's Day. That way you don't have to break up with somebody in the middle of the holiday season, right?
You said he broke up with her?
Yeah.
How did he do it?
Well, there was originally about a week ago, there was a text message that was sent that I'm breaking up with you. And so she started crying. And then he claimed his friends took his phone and they did it. Come to find out they did not do that. Come on, right?
Yeah, own up.
Of course not. It didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
I will. I mean, but she's like, she goes, I think we're going to date in high school. I'm like, really? Why?
Do you imagine Bob like shows up like in a locker room after a Super Bowl loss, after a relationship loss? So tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Where'd you really start to see it go wrong? Was like the first quarter?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me what happened.
That actually would be a fun
Mike Caliendo
right?
told me after they got blown out of the Super Bowl. So tell me, bud. When did it go wrong?
Yeah.
Why wasn't she good enough for you?
That's right. Yeah, I like it, yeah.
Why are you putting that camera in front of my face? Get used to it.
Hey,
I'm getting
why
into
are you
sales.
Wearing a red suit and putting on a tripod in the locker room? Like, what are you doing there? Dancing.
he's still on it. All right, so no secret, cat's out of the bag. Ned Yost coming back to the Royals as a advisor to the GM.
Yeah.
We all know what this means. Ned's thinking about a return to baseball. And if he's going to, it's a GM role. So why not just go pair pair up with a guy that you're familiar with that knows what he's doing.
I think Ned's bored and is looking for something to do, and it's the 10th anniversary of the 2015 season. He's like, I feel like getting back. Like, because those special advisor roles, man, those are cake. Those, like, I've dreamed of being a special advisor to a general manager. You put your feet up, you answer the phone, you give him a few tips, and you go back to your thing, right?
And maybe I'm wrong here. Didn't Matheny do that with Dayton before he became the head coach?
He did. He was kind of a special advisor or something like that, because they knew they were going to transition from Ned to Matheny, so they brought him in like a year early and whatnot. Right. I don't think Ned wants anything to do with a full-time job in baseball anymore. I think Ned is just like, hey, I kind of feel the itch. It is the 10th anniversary, which shockingly, my God,
yeah, I mean,
10 years.
You could just fly in from Georgia to go to that you did last year.
But you could also get a nice little check to be an advisor and feel like kind of you're involved. I mean, you look at some of these special advisors around. Yeah. It's a lot of retired managers, a lot of retired baseball players. Like, George Brett's technically like a special advisor. You know, the kind of the big guys in your organization.
But he has a title in the organization.
I think it's special advisor to the general manager or something like that. You can look at Royals.com, I would imagine, like what his title is. But I don't think Ned is ever going to get back in full time to Major League Baseball. Ned's got to be in his 70s now, right?
I mean, you know more than we would.
I mean, he's got to be in his 70s at this point in time. And I know he's been loving life on the farm and doing all that stuff. But sometimes
he's 69.
You know, yeah, nice. Way to go, Ned. Yeah,
nice.
So he ain't getting back in full time. I think he just kind of wants to be part of the organization. Look, who wouldn't want to be part of what's going on right now in this Royals organization, right? They had a great season last year. They've got one of the best players in baseball. I found myself on MLB Network last night watching the top 100 in baseball. They did 41-20. I went to bed at like 30, because that's what Ellie De La Cruz popped up on the list. And you're telling me there's 30 baseball players better than Ellie De La Cruz in Major League Baseball at this point? I couldn't name 30 players in baseball, let alone 30 better than Ellie De La Cruz at this point in time. I didn't see where Bobby was. I'm guessing he's got to be in the top 10
Please.
Of baseball. I mean, Mike Trout was in the top 40, for God's sake. And he hasn't played a full season since Ned was the manager of the Royals. So I think Bobby would be in the top 10. So it's a good time to be around the Royals organization. Like, the vibe is really good right now in Kansas City, in Arizona. Like, it's a really good time to be part of it. And I think if you were part of the glory days, you're looking back like, man, anything I can do up there to help you guys out. And if you're JJ, you're like, yeah, let's bring back the guy who won a world championship and I'll pick his brain and give him a couple of bucks and we can have some fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that, like, maybe there's more to it than just, like, I'm poor and I want to collect a check. I mean, I just think that, like, I think this happens to a lot of, like, guys like Ned. Like, I've known friends of mine whose dads retire, and for, like, a month, they're living their best life. And then it's like, I just miss what I used to do.
They do.
And you're like, well, then you got to go do something. Like, well, what do you think? I can't get back into construction because I don't want to do that. I'm like, well, then go just be, like, a freelance worker. And they basically do construction work, but it's like, hey, my buddy's like trying to build a back deck. Do you think you can come over here? And then they go over there, they help him build their back
deck. That's kind of what it is.
And they get paid under the table to do that. Then it's like, hey, my buddy's over here. But then it turns into like, now you're basically working full time again. You're just doing little odd jobs. So like,
but you can control your schedule and say, I don't want to do that. You know, like, I'm not interested in being a spring training.
Any sort of like, maybe like, a step above management role an organization.
No, and right now in baseball, they're not hiring old men to be general managers
That's
anymore.
Fair.
You know, they're hiring all the dorks from Harvard that, you know, have sat in their mom's basement with an abacus telling you who to trade and who not to trade for all the, that. Like, that's where the game is headed. Ned, in my opinion, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn at this at all, he's too old school for the way that baseball is right now. But you want that old school vibe. I still think you need some of those old school vibes, you know, guys that are going to be down at spring training. I mean, Dayton had guys like that for many years, you know, as his senior advisors, and like Bill Fisher, a guy like that was in charge of the pitching and kind of a senior advisor. And, you know, Art Stewart was around forever and kind of a special advisor and guys like that. So that's what Ned's role is going to be. Come in when you want, work when you want, hang out when you want, still feel like you're part of the team, offer some advice. I think at the beginning, Ned's going to be very involved at spring training. And I think it's going to be fun to see Ned walking around spring training again, kind of doing his thing down there. But once the season gets started, you know, kind of like Dayton is right now with Texas, you know, You call him when you need something. You go down there for a little bit. I don't know if Ned will be as involved as Dayton has been, you know, with the Rangers and doing all that kind of stuff. But having people part of your organization that are winners, it's a great thing. It's an unbelievable thing. And I'm excited to see, you know, Ned back and part of this thing. So we'll see if he can, you know, give his advice to the young players, if the young players listen to a guy 69, 70 years old anymore. So we'll see what happens.
We see the similar structure work in football too, right? You know, get those younger minds, maybe be the head coach or whatever, but get an offer. offensive coordinator, maybe get an assistant coach, get an advisor that's been there, that's done that, that's 67 years old. We've seen that work a lot.
It worked in Philadelphia on Sunday.
Yes,
I mean, he had Vic really Fangio well. In there, who's, you know, 95, yeah. And, you know, he did a great job of coordinating the defense. And it'll be interesting now to see who they hire as their OC with Kellen Moore going down to, to New Orleans, hot wife. Like by the way, you know, why leave? Just stay. Everybody knew you were getting the job, right?
Yeah, of course.
But I think you do need, like, those veteran guys around you and, you know, and have kind of a veteran presence if you are first in line as a head coach or a manager or something like that. You'd like to have that. And JJ in his first GM job, obviously, lean on smart people. And Ned's a smart person in baseball and knows what's going on. So you want to surround yourself with great people. That's what leaders do, right? They surround themselves with great people. They listen, they take input, and then they make that decision. But if you don't have great people around you, it doesn't work that way. So I like it.
And this is a good point from the text line for the 816. It's like, yeah, I don't think that Ned asked the Royals. Like, the Royals asked Ned because they wanted a champion. They wanted him to be around this championship sort of caliber team.
That's a great point by the text line. And I don't know if that happened, but the point of having a winner around these guys to tell them what it was like to win in Kansas City, because, you know, Salvi right now is the old man in the room, like me. You know, you can only hear from that guy for so long. You bring somebody in that was the manager on top of all this. I think guys can look at Ned and Ned can say, hey, this is what we did. This is how we turned it. And a lot of what Ned did with the Royals in 14 and 15 wasn't the baseball stuff. It was the managing of the people stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of getting them through a lot of tough times that we saw here in Kansas City. People's moms were dying and, you know, fathers were passing away at us. And Volquez, his father died. He pitches game four of the World Series. It's still one of the most unbelievable things ever. Chris Young's mother died. Mm-hmm. Moose's mom died. Like, just dealing with all that, the day-to-day minutia. Ned's been there. And you know what? For Q, going through stuff like this and being a playoff manager now, wouldn't you love to have Ned right there where you could just call him or talk to him and say, hey, what would you do in this situation? I got two guys that are fighting in the clubhouse. How can I handle this? Or whatever it is. It's just another great baseball brain to have available to you.
Yeah, just weird to have Ned and Q have like a conversation. They're just completely, in my opinion, they're completely opposite personalities, but maybe that's what works. I don't know. Maybe Ned
opposites
just
attract, right?
I mean, that's what they say.
When you say opposite personalities, what do you mean by that? Like, give me a little more.
I mean, like, Ned's more of like, he's more of like an ass, like, to your face, and like will be like blatantly obvious, where like Q can be like a more like educated ass. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, where like Q's gonna be like, no, we don't really like think about it too much or anything like that. But that's last year. This, like, for instance, last year everybody would ask Cotrero, hey, like, last year this time of the year you were 12-61 and now you're, you know, 35-18. Like, and he's like, yeah, we don't really care about last year. Like, last year's in the past. We're moving forward. Whereas Ned'd be like, yeah, we're not really focused on that anymore, okay?
Yeah,
and you're like,
tone, yeah.
You're like, all yeah, right, yeah. Sorry, I started asking questions. Like, well, we get these questions all the time.
Yeah,
okay. Next, whereas like, I don't know, he's just like short fused, whereas like Matt Cotrero is kind of just like, yeah, well, like, that's kind of like your opinion, man. Like, that's kind of where that's at, where Ned's like, you're an idiot. Shut up.
Ned was like, okay. Ned was always short fused, and he would always be like, he'd say like, you know, Ned, do you believe that, you know, Moose is one of the best hitters in baseball? No, I don't believe that, but I think he can be. Like
Cotrero would never be like, what do you mean, do you go pick him off of a tree, the third baseman tree?
Yeah, right.
Like, Cotrero wouldn't say that.
He wouldn't say that, no.
And like, you wouldn't tell Ned that.
What do you want me to do? Spank him?
Yeah. Right. I mean, there was a manager one time that wanted to feed him like no longer milk and cookies and shots of tequila. So, I mean, like, that's how far back we can go.
I mean,
if you really
Tony,
want to.
Yeah. Well, I love you, Muser.
Muse. But again, like, no, I mean, that's not a shot at either one of them. It's just that, like,
no, they're different personalities.
It's like in a restaurant working with different general managers. Like, I've worked with general managers that are like the cliche, like, deadheads, like in their mid 40s to 50s that are just like, you know, sarcastically mean. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't know your name because you're not wearing your name tag. You're like, oh, okay.
Oh, you, no.
Whereas,
no,
like, there's other
no,
guys.
Like, that guy deserves a pop in the nose.
Where there's other guys, but he, I don't know. And then there's other guys who are just like, why don't you leave today so you don't have a proper uniform on and come back when you care? And you're like, dude, I left my name tag at home. It's not that deep. Let me just go get one. I'll pay you $2, whatever it is. Like, it's
right.
Not that big of a deal. Like, we're at a name tag, man.
Yeah.
You got Sheila over here, who's been late every day for a week, and you ain't yelling at her.
Right.
Whereas, like, Ned and Q are just like two different, you know, managers. They just have, I don't know, they just...
They're completely different personalities.
They vibe on different levels is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, but, they do. But it's always good to have somebody different around as well to give you a different perspective. I think that's important. Like, sometimes leaders surround themselves with yes men and yes women and yes people that just whatever they say, they're going to lap up and agree with.
Yeah.
To be an effective leader, you need to surround yourself with people who will push back because it makes you grow as a leader and see a different perspective. And I think having a 70-year-old perspective and being in an organization where there's a lot of young people in their perspective, I think you can mesh those two. So I think it'll be fun.
And I think this team has a legitimate shot to get to a deep run in the playoffs. I mean, they went to the ALDS last year, played the Yankees, lost in, what, four games? And they have the 16th highest payroll in baseball, which is middle of the pack this year.
Which is crazy to think about, right?
They bring back their superstar. They bring back their veteran in their face of their franchise in Salvador Perez. Believe it or not, he's still the face of this franchise. I know Bobby Witt Jr. is there, and you could argue that, but it's Sal. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And then you have Vinny Pasquantino coming back. You've revamped your bullpen to kind of give you a little bit more, I guess, security on your starting pitching that may not be historic like it was. That's not historic, but like fantastic like it was last year. But you're also bringing Cole Reagans back. You're bringing Lugo back. You're bringing Walker back. You're bringing back a lot of familiarity, which is kind of what they did in 15 on the back of 14, and they went to back-to-back World Series. I think that also ties in where Ned's there as well.
Yeah, I think it can be good for the young players to get the old man perspective as well. It can be good for some of the older guys to say, hey, man, I remember when you were managing, I can lean on you a little bit. And
Salvi can be like, I remember yesterday when you were like, my coach.
Yeah, like, hey, Dan, that'll be fun to have those two back together, too. Yeah. I can't wait for the social media videos that the Royals put out from spring training with Salvi and Ned. And, gosh, bring Lorenzo Cain back, too. Let's bring the whole band back together.
Be a defensive coach.
There's nothing wrong with surrounding your organization with people that have won, right? That's why George Brett was around and still is around for so long. Greatest player, and he's a winner, and still care about the organization as well, right? Yeah, and Lorenzo Cain and those guys, I mean, it's 10 years removed, but they're not far removed from baseball. These guys can still relate to guys like that, so that would be kind of cool. But I saw the payroll yesterday. 16th in baseball is an unbelievable kind of location for the Royals, because if I would have said, where do you think the Royals are in payroll, what would you have honestly have answered that question?
Honestly, like anywhere between 20 and 18.
20, oh, okay, 20 and 18.
Because all the money they spent last year. They were like one of the most, I think they spent the most money out of anybody in free agency last year. So, I mean, that moved them up significantly. But like, if you'd asked that question 2 years ago, it'd be like 28th, 29th, somewhere around there.
Down at the bottom. And I think it really does show the commitment of John Sherman, like people who have said over the, you know, the couple of years that he's owned this ball club, he doesn't care about, they only 15 teams in baseball have a higher payroll than the Royals right now. And they're in they're the second smallest market, I think, behind Milwaukee.
What's the quote you probably heard giving out stadium information all the time? Give me a product and I'll think about the stadium.
Right.
Here's your product.
Here's the product. And they've done a great job, you know, with that. I can't wait to see, and I heard some stuff about the Sprint campus yesterday, more and more about this new stadium and potential, you know, you know, what they're going to have at that stadium. Like, it's not just 119th and all. Apparently, it's the entire Sprint campus now they're talking about. So, like, there's a lot of good things moving in the right direction for this Royals. And they're spending now in an antiquated stadium that doesn't generate the money like the Battery in Atlanta and places like that. When they move into a facility that will start generating money, they're already 16th in payroll right now and willing to spend in an antiquated ballpark that doesn't generate dollars and you can't make money 365 when they have the new ballpark and a new ballpark district and they're making money 365 days of the year. You got to be excited as a Royals fan to see the direction of this club right now.
No doubt about it. Segment every hour coming up, a poll question we'll bring up every hour. Moving forward on radio, what do you want? More Royals talk or more Chiefs talk? You're in a really weird space here, right? You're in that I feel out of it type of place because football season's over. Baseball season's right around the corner. We're the flagship for the Royals and the Chiefs. We can give you both. What do you want more of?
I think it all depends for me. Like, this is a great time for the NFL because this is rumor season, right? I love that. But it's also such a great time for baseball because it's spring training. And spring training may be my favorite thing to do in the world. And baseball and Arizona and Florida and sun and all that kind of stuff. I love, 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 love the beginning of baseball season. So I don't have an answer for your question, Dusty, because I think you could vote for both and not be wrong.
Somebody says from the 913, 69 years old and Valentine's Day, Ned is on the come.
Mm-hmm.
Stay true. You know what?
if you're not at work because of the weather, just stay home.
You get a snow
Tell
day.
Your boss you nailed the text line today at 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, someone else who knows a lot about 69 and Valentine's Day, Jay Binkley. He joins us on the other side here.
Don't take his advice.
Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Our guy Jay Binkley joins the show every Wednesday, 6:45. Binkley, are you putting your beer in the snow yet to keep it cold for the day of just relaxation and college basketball?
Not yet, but that is one of my favorite things to do, Dust, man. Just you grab that beer, throw it there in the snow, let it get cold. Nothing better than that.
Dude, this weather's a big bag of suck.
Yeah, it's not great. I thought we were almost done with it, but, you know, winter's never almost done. I remember about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, Chiefs had a game snowed out in May.
Royals.
The Royals. It was against the Angels. It was like,
I thought it was against
Ohtani
Tampa. Well, it was Ohtani.
It got frozen out because it got below like 36 out. Degrees.
Yeah, it was crazy to watch all the players watch the snow in the dugout.
Yeah, it did snow. I don't think it snowed for the Ohtani game. It was just cold, but the Tampa game.
Tampa.
Yeah, that was snow on that in May, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was Tampa, and everybody was in the dugouts watching because a lot of the guys are from the South. They don't see the snow, and so that was kind of cool. And also, we're in Kansas City. It was May, and we don't normally see the snow, so we can fall back on that one as well. So happy Valentine's Day. I'm sure you got some big plans coming up up for Valentine's Day. But as we kind of sit back, kick back, and kind of decompress from the season, you texted me yesterday. You're like, the Chiefs need to get back to the St. Joe Chiefs. I'm like, they really never left St. Joe, but what do you mean by that?
I mean, get back to what they were going to be. I mean, you went to St. Joe every day was a bomb. It's a bomb to Xavier Worthy. It was a bomb to Hollywood Brown. And obviously that changed when, you know, Hollywood Brown was hurt a majority of the season. But it was an air-out attack, and that was the talk. You know, the Chiefs, hey, you're going to throw the ball downfield more. That's what they're going to do. And so it looked like it was going to kind of be a new offense. And then it kind of had to revert to, you know, ball control offense, short passes, trying to just move the chains. The Chiefs had the longest average drive this year in the NFL. They averaged over 3 minutes per drive, which was number one in the NFL, these long, methodical drives. But St. Joe was the home run time, man. It was home run hitting. It was throwing downfield. Every day you'd see, you know, the highlights of Xavier Worthy catching a long pass from Mahomes or Hollywood Brown. But, you know, get back to more of a wide-open style, attacking style, Kansas City Chiefs offense that you've seen in the past.
All right, Jay, I'm going to give you a couple names. Start easy, and then we're going to end a little bit tougher with back or gone. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Hollywood Brown.
I think gone.
DeAndre Hopkins.
No, don't think. Say what you would do.
I would bring him back. And clearly, Brett Veach made a comment right before the draft last year, at the end of it, when he was talking about Hollywood Brown, once they signed him. And it said something like, well, this is going to be, you know, a one-year deal. And, you know, he'll probably only be here for a year. Because we all thought that Hollywood Brown's going to come in for a year, then he's going to go make the bag. It's his last big chance at free agency to make money. And then when he's hurt the whole year, you kind of start thinking they could maybe get a reasonable contract for Hollywood Brown. And his market wouldn't be that great because he didn't have any production this year. It's possible. I don't think he comes back.
DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
Okay. Juju Smith-Schuster.
No.
Charles Omenihu.
Yes.
Nick Bolton.
No.
Why?
I just been here in linebackers. Just draft them, man.
Okay.
You don't want to overspend on an inside linebacker. And, you know, the draft is where you do get guys like Nick Bolton.
Okay.
Just like when they brought in Drew Tranquil in a few years ago. That was a reasonable deal, and he got great production from it.
Last one, toughest one, Trey Smith.
I'd like to see him back, but I think he's going to be gone. That contract's going to be way out there. He's set in the market. I mean, you know, he's pretty much the number two free agent in pretty much all the, you know, top 100 free agent boards going forward. He's number two, and you just can't pay everybody, you know, max contracts. You just can't do it. I'm not like the NBA max contracts, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And guards set the market last year. 2 years ago was the wide receivers getting crazy money. Last year was NFL guards making a ton of money. I think it continues with Trey Smith.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get paid in a big way, but this is where we are with this organization, Jay, and we're going to get into some like possible trade scenarios and things like that that they could possibly do coming up in a little bit. I feel like this is going to be a very similar year to coming off the loss to New England and the loss to Tampa. I think we're going to see a lot of roster overhaul this offseason, Jay, and we may see guys traded and parted with like they did with Tyreek Hill that people will have a tough time on the surface digesting, but knowing overall it's going to be great for the organization.
Yeah, you got to do whatever you can, and you can't hold on to guys because you like watching the guy play, and you can't have that emotional attachment. This is a business, and you have to move forward, and this is Brett Veach's time. I mean, it was 31-9 in that Buccaneers Super Bowl, and, you know, I know that everybody feels really bad right now at what happened against the Eagles because it was a terrible game, and you hated seeing it, but that Buccaneers game is very similar. It was 31-9, and Mahomes had been running backwards for like 300 yards in that game, and it seemed hopeless after that game. It seemed hopeless, like, wow, this team got bad really fast. But no, they turned it around and came back. So very discouraging, but this is a challenging time for Brett Veach. I trust that he can do it. He's done it before. I expect him to do it this year, but the offensive line has to be a big concern. My biggest thing is I want to see him go back to just loading this offense up. I mean, this is what this team is. Here's the deal. You're never going to have a quarterback like this again. This is it. This is the window you have Patrick Mahomes. Like, I doubt the Chiefs will ever, if they do get a quarterback greater than Patrick Mahomes in the future, that's great. I mean, that's going to be hard to do. It's like New England, they're going to have a quarterback better than Tom Brady? No. Is the Chiefs ever going to have a quarterback better than Patrick Mahomes? Probably not. So I will say no, they won't. But because they never had one really before since Len Dawson. But will they be able to do it? So if you have Mahomes, you might as well load him up for as many weapons as you can. Take advantage of when you have a great quarterback. Don't load your defense when you have the best quarterback in your franchise's history. You have to understand, you have a window for Patrick Mahomes. You got to load that offense up now.
So with $11 million in cap space, I think it's like 22nd in the league, and the draft picks they have, I believe, 6. Is that correct? Where do you see them where do you see them using these draft picks in the first pick in the third round as well?
Well, it's actually, believe it or not, it's unlucky for the Chiefs. It's the second pick in the third round.
Oh, sorry.
They alternate Tennessee and Cleveland because they had the same record. So they alternate the first three, or every round's alternated between those three to finish last. So actually, it's pick number 66. So it's the second one in the third round. I think running back. I think they're going to go running back. Not early, but mid, like third round, fourth round, I could see him doing running back because this is a very strong running back class. But don't be totally enamored by the running back. Yes, running backs are important. Saquon Barkley had a huge season, but in the Super Bowl, he averaged 2.3 yards a carry. That Super Bowl wasn't about Saquon Barkley. I mean, the Chiefs got absolutely rolled, and it wasn't because of Saquon Barkley. Sure, he was great in the passing game, but you can get a lot of running backs that are good in the passing game. But I think they'll go running back. I think the tight end is a necessity. Been screaming for that for years. I still think they're going to go wide receiver. I think they still have to go wide receiver in this draft. Defensive line becomes a nice thing. I could see them if they go like Derek Harmon or somebody like that from Oregon in the first round. I could see them doing that. That's not a position to say, wow, I can't believe they did that because they need defensive line help. Offensive line, it's going to have to be a trade for left tackle because last year everybody was screaming for left tackle. And I was sitting there going, no, you need a wide receiver because, man, see, like Kingsley Suamatia, people actually wanted Kingsley in the first round. And they drafted Xavier Worthy.
What people?
Who helped this team more, Xavier Worthy or Kingsley Suamatia? Xavier Worthy, he became the best wide receiver on this team and the receiver that led the Chiefs in receptions and yards in the playoffs before the Super Bowl and even extended it past that. So you always need wide receiver help, but Xavier Worthy was the pick. Because when you're picking 31, you're not getting an elite tackle. Last year was a great year for tackles, by the way, if that's what people are doing. Eight tackles are drafted in the first round. That was an NFL record. Seven was the previous record. Eight of them drafted in the first round last year. It's not going to be that this year. It's going to be about four, I think, drafted in the first round. You better get up to, you know, 15, 20 at the absolute latest, but top 15 to get a left tackle. Because if you draft a 31, you're essentially getting a left tackle that's moving over to right tackle, or you're getting a guy that's pretty much suited for playing guard. You're not getting an elite-level pass protector at 31.
Jay, do you think, because I feel like we're going to see like a Willie Rofe type of trade and go out and get a left tackle. You had mentioned acquiring one through a trade. I'm 100% lockstep with you. I think we see a trade for a veteran, proven left tackle this offseason.
Unless Humphreys can prove it. I know, you know, Humphreys wanting to do stuff. But how funny would it be for the Chiefs to go out and trade Baltimore again and get Ronnie Stanley? You got Orlando Brown the last time make a move like that. But, yeah, someone that's proven, that's been in the NFL, someone they can trust. Mahomes needs to have that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The trust factor back. You have that trust where you can sit back there because we know when he throws the ball downfield, good things can happen. And if he doesn't have time to do it or doesn't trust his offensive line and have to wonder where that, you know, rush is coming from, and the fact that they weren't even really they weren't blitzed at all in this game. It was just dominated up front by the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line. Just get some trust back. So I think it'll be an established tackle. I think that's the direction they want to go, because when they tried to sign Trent Williams, that went way into the night, like till 2 a.m., and it looked like they were going to get Trent Williams. Didn't work out. And then Orlando Brown became the necessity, because drafting one at that point, all those guys that were drafted at tackle at the end of the first round, they ended up being guards, or they ended up being right tackles. So the Chiefs had to make a choice, and they said, you know what? Everybody was saying, you've got to have a left tackle, got to have a left tackle. And the Chiefs thought that too. So, you know, each mock draft, and then we were looking at tackles and everything, because that's what the Chiefs were going to have to do. But they made that deal for Orlando Brown. And a lot of people weren't enamored by Orlando Brown, but they really had no other choices, to be honest with you, because the draft wasn't going to provide a left tackle that year.
Well, Beakley, you got no other choice now to eat hot dogs and nachos with the onions and jalapenos on it, because it's baseball season, baby. And I know you're geared up and ready to go for this Royals team, my man.
Let's freaking go. What is the day? The 12th? Pitchers report today, pitchers and catchers.
Yep.
With the 17th of full squad. Let's go, man. Let's freaking go.
That's right, baby. Beakley, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
See you guys.
Thanks, Jay.
That's Jay Beakley. And don't forget, we do have our poll question on our Twitter handle or X handle at TheFan96.5. We will give you what that is, plus a trade proposal that one Bob Fesco thinks could work for these Kansas City Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.